Hours 20 UTC, 7:20 p.m. in Zimbabwe on Sunday, October 18th, 2015. You're listening to Studio 7 live from the Voice of America in Washington. Thank you for joining us this Sunday evening live from Washington. I'm Marvelous Mhlanga Nyahuye. Amongst our top stories this evening, preparations for the International Conference on AIDS and Sexually Transmitted Infections in Africa, ICASA, are said to be progressing well, with organizers calling on exhibitors and service providers to contact them by the end of this month to secure bookings. The conference will be held in Harare in November and December this year. The United Church of Christ in Zimbabwe plans to open a university in Chipinge next year, which is set to change the face of the Eastern Highlands.
As the United Church of Christ in Zimbabwe, you might know that we are the church that started with education since 1893. And we have been providing primary, secondary, higher education and tertiary. But we are now geared up to restart what we call Gazaland University.
And commissioners of the Information and Media Panel of Inquiry say media practitioners and other stakeholders must continue to push the government to ensure it implements the findings of the IMPI project, including repealing or amending restrictive media laws. And as usual, we give you the Youth Forum with Tatenda Gumbo. Preparations for the International Conference on AIDS and Sexually Transmitted Infections in Africa, ICASA, are said to be progressing well, with organizers calling on exhibitors and service providers to contact them by the end of this month to secure bookings. The conference will be held in Harare in November and December this year. The event is set to bring together over 10,000 international AIDS specialists to discuss the latest finding in the fight against HIV/AIDS. The United Church of Christ in Zimbabwe plans to open a university in Chipinge next year. The university, to be called Gazaland University, will offer degree programs. We reached Reverend Ephraim Ngadzi Ore for more details on the issue.
As the United Church of Christ in Zimbabwe, you might know that we are the church that started with education since 1893. And we have been providing primary, secondary, higher education and tertiary. But we are now geared up to start what we call Gazaland University, a university which is preparing to offer degrees in special areas like horticulture. It is horticulture because it's between the districts in Manicaland, where we are going to site our university, is surrounded by the climate, the land, the soil itself is conducive for horticultural programs like tea and coffee, macadamia, bananas, and so on. So that is going to be one of the faculties. In addition to that, we are also planning to come up with faculty of minerals, that is mining. In mining, you might also know, sister, that in Chipinge District again, in Manicaland, you know that we have got Siagwa, that is endowed with diamonds, as well as coal is not far from us, even gold itself. So underground, we understand and believe, and technically it has been approved that we have such minerals which need to be studied at a degree level, so that they are mined and processed for the benefit of the Zimbabwean people, not only the people alone, but for the Zimbabwean people. And that is one of the faculties we are going to take at Gazaland University. And we are also pursuing the element of training in medical, because Mount Linda Hospital has been training nurses some years back, over a century now we have been training. So we want to upgrade the diploma level into a degree level. As I'm speaking right now, we know we have some training going on at Mount Linda Hospital, but they are at a diploma level. So we want to upgrade such training into a degree program. You might also know that up to 1984, we have been training teachers at Mount Linda, and now we want to pursue that training. Now it's going to be part of our faculty training teachers.
Where will your student base be drawn from? And also, when are you planning to actually open the university?
Everything going on well, as we have planned. We are planning to open 20. As I'm speaking, Dr. Richard Maphosa pioneered in actually putting everything on paper, what we call the charter, university charter. It is simply waiting for Zimche to put a stamp on it. But that doesn't mean to say we are going to slow because of that, because all they wanted is now on paper, and we have prepared everything. So 2016, we should have our doors open for our students. That. And the students will be coming from all over Zimbabwe, even outside Zimbabwe.
What about infrastructure? Have you already started construction?
We are ready to accommodate. As of the infrastructure to be used, we are now preparing that some of our buildings at Spore High, at Mount Linda High, like I said, Bikoni Hill High, even at Musirizwi, Wazano Center, which is going up quite very well, is ready to accommodate some of our students.
That was Reverend Ephraim Ngadziwore of the United Church of Christ in Zimbabwe speaking to us from Harare. Commissioners of the Information and Media Panel of Inquiry say media practitioners and other stakeholders must continue to push the government to ensure it implements the findings of the IMPI project, including repealing or amending restrictive media laws. The calls come hard on the heels of widely criticized comments by Information Permanent Secretary George Charamba threatening to muzzle the independent media by tightening media laws in the country. Our correspondent Taurai Shava brings us more.
Speaking during a meeting with journalists and other stakeholders at the Bulawayo Press Club last night, Jackie Chikakano, one of the panelists of the Information and Media Panel of Inquiry, or IMPI, said the fact that the Commission's report has been made public gives interested parties an opportunity to compel the government to act. Chikakano, also a legal officer with the Zimbabwe chapter of the Media Institute of Southern Africa, or MISA, was responding to concerns raised by some of the participants at the meeting that the government may choose not to implement recommendations contained in the report. She said despite the fact that IMPI's terms of reference were only limited to gathering information from the public and producing a report without going further to deal with how recommendations would be implemented, journalists should not sit on their laurels but continue to work with other stakeholders in pushing the government to guarantee that the recommendations are put in place.
There are different platforms that are available to us, and I suppose at this juncture we might not be able to say which one is the best, but definitely the opportunities are there. The fact that they made this a public document gives us leverage. If we had finished this process and then hidden this report in their offices, then it would have been a very different story. We would be doing guesswork and they could probably tell us different stories about the fate of this report. But the fact that it's in the public, it gives us leverage to demand what it is we want to demand as far as the report is concerned.
The report was produced following the findings of a 28-member panel which was appointed in December 2013 by the then Information Minister Jonathan Moyo to look into the state of media in Zimbabwe. Urging the media to publicize the report as much as possible, Chikakano said part of the findings reveal that Zimbabwe lags behind most countries in the Southern African Development Community bloc in terms of freedom of expression and access to information, a view shared by Brian Mangwende, another IMPI panelist who also attended the meeting.
I think we are falling far behind, far, far behind from the expected media freedom and expression that we need to have in this country in order for us to have a free society and people who can express themselves without fear of freedom. We have a long way to go. We are far behind and we need to make strides, and recommendations are there on how we should do it and why we should do it.
Programs officer Tabani Moyo of MISA Zimbabwe told Studio 7 that most of the findings and recommendations of the report vindicate his organization's consistent call for the repeal of laws like the Access to Information and Protection of Privacy Act and the Criminal Codification and Reform Act, as such laws both curtail and criminalize freedom of expression.
This report is one of these scientific processes or tools that have authenticated the many decades worth of advocacy that we have been carrying out, insisting that firstly the laws that are governing Zimbabwe are archaic, they don't belong to 21st century human existence. Secondly, insisting that their repeal is immediate rather than a deferment. We are insisting that the report is one of the progressive tools that have come out of post-independence inquiries.
Yesterday, Misa held a meeting with Charamba as a result of perceptions that he wants to block public discussions on the over 600-page MP report following reports in the state media. Charamba has promised to convene an all-stakeholders meeting to discuss the report, paving way for the implementation of its recommendations. Reporting for Studio 7 from Bulawayo, this is Taurai Shaba.
This is Studio 7 from the Voice of America in Washington. We're going out to you on the 4930, 4940 and 15455 shortwave frequencies and on the 909 medium wave or AM frequency. Coming up, the Youth Forum with Satenda Gumbo.
You are now listening to the Youth Forum, your forum focusing on your issues today. I'm gladly joined by Nkosilati Moyo, who is the director of the Zimbabwe Organization for the Youth in Politics. Nkosilati, thank you so very much for joining me today on the program.
Oh, thank you, Tatenda. Hello, viewers.
How have things been going with your organization? You know, as we know that you are constantly working with young people on the issue of politics.
Oh, yes. Thank you, Tatenda. The Zimbabwe Organization for the Youth in Politics, which is based in Nkwekwe, is going around all the districts or the wards in Nkwekwe and our periphery areas like Gokwe and Jombe, as well as Slovela, trying to educate the youth and familiarize them with the new constitution. Because what we realize is that young people did not participate much in the writing of this constitution. So they do not know what is enshrined in that constitution.
But, you know, Nkosilati, someone might ask and say, well, the constitution came along some years ago. Why is it that in 2015 there are young people, even people in general in Zimbabwe of all ages, who still do not know the contents of their own constitution?
Yes. Of course, let me return to the point of saying, of course, they do not know. They don't know that because, of course, we don't have it for more than 3 years now, but since they do not participate in the writing of this constitution, and with the situation that we now have in Zimbabwe, the political and economic instability, young people have lost interest in all these issues. You know, they're worried about getting jobs, they're worried about this and that, and very few of them are worried about what is enshrined in the new constitution, of which, by so ignoring those clauses, by so ignoring the supreme law of this land, that makes them remain vulnerable to manipulation by politicians. So we realize that, you know, this constitution is not a periodical thing of saying maybe it's for 1 year or so. It's a permanent document for our land. So it's important that they are aware of what the constitution is.
And speaking on the issue of the economy, this week we saw the International Day of the Rural Women, which here we also made a mention to spotlight youth in rural areas. How are the young people in rural areas that you have been able to work with, how are they faring, you know, in terms of the economic stability?
The situation of the youth in rural areas, I can say it's very, very bad. Of all the groups of young people, I think those in the rural areas are the most vulnerable. You know, they are not very much aware of what is really happening, and most of the time they are left out of things which really matter, especially if we are talking about a young woman, a female youth who is in a rural community. I mean, most of them remain very marginalized and lagging behind, not involved, you know. So we try to reach, like in our target areas, we have Slovela, we have Jombe, and we have Gokwe. We try to meet with young people, organize community meetings in their rural constituents, and try to meet with those youths in rural constituencies. But we still have a lot of challenges because in rural communities, it's also very hard to mobilize those young people. Most of them are occupied with their daily chores of herding cattle, going to the well, fetching water for the family, you know, all those things. So mobilizing the rural community remains a challenge.
And what are some of those programs that you guys are implementing for them? And, you know, how can the young people who might be listening get in touch with your organization?
We have various volunteers in our district, you know, in those rural communities, like I've mentioned earlier, on Jean-Pierre, Novella, and Gokwe. We are doing programs like I also said earlier, educating them about question as well as developing their leadership skills. We have a lot of leadership training programs which we do there, some civic education workshops whereby we educate them more about democracy, the rule of law, and you know, stuff like that, so that they can also participate in political processes. So for them to reach out to us, I think the best way is to call us, and we direct them to various volunteers in their communities.
If you can go ahead and give us that number.
They can get us on 0775-037-579. 0775-037-579. They can text us, they can WhatsApp us, and we can direct them to our volunteers and ask them about various programs happening in their communities. So if I can repeat the number again, it's 0775-037-579.
That point, Nkosilati, I want to thank you so very much for joining me today on the Youth Forum.
Okay, thank you, young people. Thank you, the people of Zimbabwe.
That was Nkosilati Moyo, director of the Zimbabwe Organization for Youth in Politics, joining me today on the Youth Forum. This is Tatenda Gumbo, and as usual, make sure you join me next week.
Thank you, Tatenda. And on that note, we would like to wish all the rural women out there happy Rural Women's Day, which ended today. This is Studio 7 for Zimbabwe, coming to you from the Voice of America in Washington. Now to recap on today's top stories. Preparations for the International Conference on AIDS and Sexually Transmitted Diseases in Africa, ICASA, are said to be progressing well, with organizers calling on exhibitors and service providers to contact them by the end of this month to secure bookings. The conference will be held in Harare in November and December this year. And the United Church of Christ in Zimbabwe plans to open a university in Chipinge next year, which is set to change the face of the Eastern Highlands. The university will be called Gazaland University and will offer degree programs. That's the news in English from Studio 7 this Sunday evening, October the 18th, 2015. Stand by for Studio 7 in Ndebele. This is Marvelous Mhlanga Nyahuye in Washington, wishing you a pleasant evening, a very good night, and a great week ahead.